I'm riding in a rental minivan right now on my way through Wisconsin en route to Ohio. In 3 days, my daughter Katie will be graduating from college. When I started producing For the Birds in 1986, Katie was 2 years old. Her second word after mama was Boo Jay because she was so taken with a pair of jays that flew to our front porch to take peanuts out of my hand every day. When she was 5, she started keeping a life list of all the birds she saw. One day during spring migration, the year she was in kindergarten, we came upon a flock of dozens of American redstarts lighting up a stand of shrubs at the Western Waterfront Trail like a Martha Stewart Christmas tree. Katie's eyes grew enormous with delight. When we visited the Bell Museum of Natural History that same year and she saw the display cases of passenger pigeons, blue and rosy with large, soft eyes, she told me how she couldn't wait to add them to her life list. I'll never forget her tears of shock and outrage and sadness when I explained that there were no more live passenger pigeons anywhere in the world. They were extinct. If Katie and I were always pretty close, the birding impulse is not a genetically transmitted characteristic, and little girls need to establish their own identities separate from their mothers, so Katie's birding career was short-lived. She's always cared about birds, but after she reached her goal of 100 birds on her life list, she lost interest in keeping lists. 3 summers ago, when she was 19, she rode her bicycle around Lake Superior with 2 friends, and they did not notice a single bird on the 1,200-mile journey. The only animal they noticed at all was a dead moose in the road. Most birds probably never know which of their babies are male and which are female, don't give them names, and don't learn how their lives turn out. Mercifully, most songbirds pretty much forget who their babies are after the babies go off on their own. The majority of nestling birds never reach their first birthday, so it would be sad indeed if birds kept track. Some birds do maintain their ties with their children for years. Yearling Florida scrub jays, relatives of our crows and jays, often help their parents raising the next year's babies. When Ithaca, New York's population of American crows was decimated by West Nile virus, adult birds that had lost their young and mate to the disease were recorded returning to their parents. Like most humans, corvids are well known to maintain ties with families that span generations. When our son Joe was in a motorcycle accident in Florida and busted his arm up, he was happy to have his whole family there for a while. Injured crows also get support from their families. Interestingly, if a crow is hurt near home, the crows that know it, both family members and neighbors, will protect it and even help it get food and water. But if a crow flying through a strange neighborhood is injured, crows unfamiliar with it will harass and even kill it. We all hope the world our children face won't be so merciless, even as we welcome them back with open arms when they are home. As of Memorial Day, Katie will be a college graduate with the big wide world ahead of her, free as a bird to head wherever her navigation system takes her. And like a family of crows or jays, we're glad to send her off on her own, but we'll be here for her any time she wants her family. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.